the organization which I learned the holy days from and all that from, when it came to days of unleavened bread, all they talked about was getting sin out of your life, getting sin out of your life, getting sin out of your life, getting sin out of your life. And after a while, I said, okay, is that what days of unleavened bread is all about? Getting sin out of your life? Not according to what I read here. And you'll find out what I mean by this in a minute. I find, and I've come to appreciate the days of unleavened bread for a very interesting statement which the Apostle Paul addressed. And a very, very positive on these days. They're not days of getting sin out of your life. These are the days where the Creator of heaven and earth, your Father, has placed you. He's placed you in the world where He wants you to be. No, it's not a bread of affliction. It's a bread of tremendous hope. Wonderful hope and great joy. Now, there are some things Apostle Paul brings out about leavened bread, and we will address that today. But in that very same chapter, he talks about something else about the unleavened bread. It's not the physical stuff, though we do take it because it's a representation of something. It's not the representation of I'm throwing out sin and I'm taking in unsin stuff. No, you're taking in something else. Actually, God has placed you in a world that when you have accepted His Son and the remission of your sin, and now He has given you something special. He has given you His Spirit. And that's where your world is at now. You're in the world of unleavened. The Apostle Paul says so. And we'll find out. We know that in the Torah, how unleavened bread was established even before they left Egypt. And he said you could do it for 7 days. And so they instituted it and did it for 7 days. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I hope not to take too much time today. I'll do my very best to keep as short as possible. You know, I'm good at doing that, right? Well, I want what I really want. This is Hach Sameach. It means you get to be able to be fellowship with one another. You can dance a lot more. You can enjoy yourselves and enjoy one another's company because each one of us are in the same company of unleavened people. Does that make sense to you? We'll get to that in a minute. God placed you there because that's where He had always planned for you to be and for me to be and for, in time, the whole world to be, but on His time cycle. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, obviously it's the beginning of the days of unleavened bread. And verse 1, it is actually reported there is sexual misconduct among you, and such sexual misconduct that is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. Now, it starts out negative, doesn't it? Real quick. Oh, wow, what am I supposed to do? And he said, now you have been puffed up. How were they puffed up? How would you think to be puffed up? Well, he says there, and have not get rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Now, when we think about that in the, quote, I'll call it the leavened world, you would never think about someone who has done this act should be removed from your premises. Right? We don't do that in the modern 21st century. We're more compassionate. We're more understanding. The Apostle Paul was alive today. He'd walk in here and he'd probably kick out an awful lot of people in churches and a congregation because they're not walking according to the walk, which he talked about. Now, this is very interesting. I mean, it sounds negative, and we think it's unfair. And Apostle Paul's opinion, we don't have to listen to his opinion, right? Because he's just a man. Who cares what he thinks? Although he was an apostle, very important individual in the history of, what should we say, your life, in my life, in our life. Verse 3, for indeed, as absent in body and present in spirit, have already judged, though as if I were present, him who has done such a deed, and the name of our Lord, Yahshua HaMashiach, this is powerful words from an apostle, not from someone who has an opinion. When you come together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord, Yahshua HaMashiach, deliver the one to... Wow. Now, Christians wouldn't do that, right? Or I would say the leavened people wouldn't do that, because they look at this as, well, he's no different than I am. He's got sin. I live in sin. We all live in sin. We can't do this, right? Because, why? We believe somewhere that, well, we should not judge anything or anybody or do this, but we're talking about the body of Christ, right? And these are strong and powerful words, which are not heard. Or most preachers, if I can use this word, don't like to go to this section of the Apostle Paul. They want to go to the other one that says, God is love, God is merciful, God is kind, God is gentle, God knows your weakness, God knows this, God knows that. But they don't want to go to the other part of God, where God's wrath will come. And he talks about this. And so as a group, as individuals, primarily more as individuals, we need to kind of monitor our own life and make sure we are walking according to the will of his son, Yahshua himself. Okay? Because remember what he said? It is better if your right hand offends you, it is better you cut it off. If your right eye offends you, it's better for you to pluck it out. Now, he wasn't meaning on a physical plane. What happened to the 12? One of them was cut off and cast out. Now, that's one member missing. Now, they didn't know. They didn't realize he had another thought in his mind. They were unaware of it. Yahshua knew. And the judgment came upon him on the night in which he was betrayed against Judas Iscariot. And so in a sense, either the right arm was cut off from the group and an eye was also plucked out. Pretty heavy stuff, don't you think? And here, Apostle Paul, remember he said he talked, Yahshua himself taught him what he is to teach. And the Apostle Paul says, I didn't go to the leadership in Jerusalem. I heard this from no man. This I heard from the Lord. So reading here, either you accept the Apostle Paul, heard what Yahshua said, or it's the Apostle Paul's opinion. Now, I don't think you think that way, but I mean, the world has a tendency to look as just, it's just a writing. It was just a letter that was sent to these people. And we get to read the inside letter. We get to read a letter that didn't really belong to us, but belonged to somebody else. How would the Creator of heaven and earth preserved it for a reason? For our understanding, for admonition. Of course, he says, your boasting is not good. Let's drop down here now to verse 7. A very important verse. An extremely positive one. He says, therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new leaven. Purge out the person or that action from amongst you, so it will not multiply, increase, and become acceptable conduct of life. Right? Now, this is after the death and resurrection. And supposedly, the elimination of the Torah never has to be read or stood or understood or listened to ever again, right? Because it was nailed to the cross, right? Well, not according to Apostle Paul. And you'll find that when we get to Romans a little bit. But this is very important. Since you are truly unleavened. Do you people see what Apostle Paul is saying? They are already unleavened. Now you've got a leaven in the lump. Get rid of the leaven and remain unleavened. How do you remain unleavened? Kicking people out? Is that what you do? No. Puffed up. Oh. Puffed up. What does that mean? Pride. Pride. Let's go to verse 8 now. Therefore, let us keep the feast. He's not talking about the feast of Passover. He's talking about the feast of unleavened bread. That's what the subject matter is about, this chapter. And so here's the first day of unleavened bread. He says, now we must keep this feast. Why should we keep the feast of unleavened bread? It's to tell us where God has placed us. And since it's 7 days in completion, God will complete the work he started in us. That's what I don't know if it's the Corinthians or Philippians, but he said, God will complete the work he has started in you. It will be complete. It won't be incomplete. When God is finished with your life on this earth, it will be completed. It will not be almost near, close to, but not quite. When you die, it will be completed. It will not have to be resurrected back up again and straightened out. Why? Because, what did Apostle Paul say here? Because, indeed, Messiah is our Passover. He is the one that has completed the penalty. And now we walk in hope. We walk in encouragement. We walk in a world we don't walk in the world. We're still in the world. It says we're walking around the world, but we're not of it. And so there's a very interesting thing. And now verse 8. He said, now let's keep the feast. Not with old leaven. That is the leaven of malice and wickedness. What on earth is he talking about? Now, we could take this thing and say, oh, here's the malice of wickedness. So you didn't get rid of that guy. Is that maliceness? Or is that wickedness? Doesn't seem to be, right? What is he saying then? What is this referring to? I'm sorry, what?
In your heart.
In your heart, okay. Actually, the Apostle Paul gets very specific as we keep going into there. What specific, quote, things that we are not to walk in? Because we are unleavened. And this is just an outward, obvious one that eyes can see and people see and the world judges because this is obvious, that one. What about the ones that are not obvious? What about the ones that are puffing up that no one sees? Right? Now, sincerity and purity is what unleavened is all about. It says there, it's a days of sincerity, and what Jeff brought out, it also means, of course, use new terminology, is transparency. It's clear. It's clear. It's pure. So in your world, in our world, God has placed us in a world that is pure, place that is clear, place that is easy to see. What do you see? See, you are placed in that world because you are already unleavened. You don't have to become unleavened. You have to be, you already are there. How do you remain in the world that's clear? Clarity. Be able to see very clear what it is. What about truth? What is truth? Yeah, we can go there, but what does it matter? What does true mean? The opposite of a lie? Is that what we think it is? That's not technically true. It's true in all manners of your life. God has placed you and He's placed me in a world of unleavened bread, which is the world that's very clear and very easy to see, clear as mud, and very truth. And the matter of truth will be within us and part of us. So we're living in clarity and we're living in truth. We're not trying to search for truth because we already are in there. We don't have to try to search for clarity, for being clear. We are already there. Now, he continues on later on. We'll see what we must be aware of. Because see, they got puffed up. You got to be aware of what you're seeing or what you're doing. Jeff.
I was wondering if you have this comparison of sincerity and truth, perhaps what this is really getting at is upokrates, or hypocrite, being an actor. So you don't want to be an actor before God because it ain't going to work.
Now, as he goes on, we'll get into farther in this thing, but I want you to know that, try to understand that, that Apostle Paul says you are already unleavened. You didn't become unleavened. You became unleavened by the actions of God's Spirit giving you, after the Passover was done, giving you a world where now He has placed you. You didn't enter into it. He moved you into it. You remember what I read on the about a couple days ago? That He says, I'm calling you unto Myself, the house of Israel. Remember? He called the firstborn into and of and toward Himself. What did they do? Nothing. He just did the calling. Keep that part in mind. Apostle Paul addresses that. Let's go on to another section. Let's go first. Why don't you go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Many of you are fully aware of what I teach about a lot of different things. Chapter 4, verse 1. We'll start there. This is a very interesting section that I focus in on. Let's put it that way. I therefore, verse 1, the prisoner of the Lord, meaning Yahshua, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Were you called? If you weren't called, then you didn't come. Did you come when you were called? What were you called to do? Called to be in unleavened world. Called to be in clarity, clearness, and truth. That's where we are headed. That's where we are in. And we have to look at this thing a little bit differently than just saying it's a bunch of words. And now, verse 2, he says, you're calling with all lowliness and gentleness. Now, is that kind of clear, that point of clarity? Yes.
I like that better than lowliness. I mean, like, let's get a little more specific.
Well, you know, you could use the word humble. That's okay. That's not my thing. It's like, it means to be less. Don't make yourself so important. You are not great. You are just a low person. And when you're talking to other people, don't make yourself puffed up saying, look how I am. I'm a very humble and loyal and honest and true. That's pride. Just be this way. He says you're calling and with all, this is what you are to be, not what people, you should, people not see this, but what you should be. They, when they'll see something else, they'll see the light. They'll see the light. With gentleness and long suffering. Do you endure long? Yes.
Take like a whole day and study what is humility.
Right, not, I mean, not today though.
No, no, I'm just suggesting.
Yes, yes. Since it's written in the New Testament, you might put that pressure upon that guy walking back there in the back right now. Sorry, Jeff. But it says to walk worthy in the calling, which you are called with lowliness, gentleness, long suffering, bearing one another in despicable love, right? Now, love is not an emotional thing. Love is an action. Love is an action thing. It's what you do to others. What did Yeshua say? He said, this is the commandment I'll give unto you, that you do as I have done, loved you. How did he love them? He said, I want you to love them as I want you to love one another as I have loved you. How did he love them? How did he love them? Different? He died for his friends. He died for those. And he says, no greater action, no greater love, no greater action can a man do. So he told his disciples, you need to do as I am doing for you. Are you willing to die for your fellow apostle? Wow, that's pretty heavy, don't you think? When you love one another as I have loved you. That's pretty heavy, isn't it, think? Bill.
That would be dying to self every day some, wouldn't it?
I'm sorry, what?
That would be dying to self some every day?
No, to prevent their death. Well, dying for them to save, to keep them alive.
To literally, yeah, I understand.
Right. In the physical sense. That's what he did. Not in a spiritual sense, because we can't do that, but we sure can do it for one another in the flesh. And Yeshua was what they did in the spiritual sense.
My humble opinion. We can do that every day if we choose to serve each other. And like someone asks you to do something, you've got a plan. They need you. Your plan goes on the back burner,
no, that's correct.
And
that's
they
correct.
Are the ones that are served. That's dying to yourself.
Yeah. It's like, the things that, you do or I do or people do, and for the congregation, let's just say, the group of people, that you would like to buy this wonderful, delicious half a steer that's very expensive and very costly for yourself. Oh, wait a minute. Why don't you give that to the congregation and you take over there the part you get from Safeway? You take the lesser part. Apostle Paul says, count everybody in the body more what? Okay. Give them more respect than yourself. Give them more honor than yourself. Do not think they are less. They are greater than you. That's really hard and the world we live in, because we can't picture that. Because pride is standing in our way. Let me continue on here. I'm not getting anywhere here. In verses, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, verse 4, 5, and 6. There's a word that's repeated over and over and over again 7 times. 7 times. And that word is one. This is what he is saying to us. Think about it in your world, in your life. This is what God has done. The creator of heaven and earth. One body. Now you can interpret that meaning, the body to the Messiah, the body, the church, congregation, I don't care. One spirit. One hope. One Lord, one Yeshua. One faith. One baptism. One God and Father. There is not a multitudes. There is just one God, and he is the Father of a few. All. And he said here, who is above all and is through all. And the last one is what? In you all. So when we think about that one spirit, that one spirit is within us. Not two, not three, not four, not ten, not seven, just one. And there's only one baptism, the death of the Messiah. That's the one that matters, not yours. If he had not died, you have no hope. That's why it says, one hope for your calling, because the Lord has one trust. You could trust him in, he died. He went into baptism, he died, and you don't have to die anymore. You see the pattern? They're beautiful number of 7 here. And it's all about echad. You want to use the word echad? Echad body, echad spirit, echad hope, echad Lord, echad faith, echad baptism, echad Elohim, echad Father of all. One, 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 one. I find that very, very fascinating. Now down in verse 31, this is the things that when we live in the world of unleavenedness, where God has placed us, we cannot place ourselves in the world of unleavened. Is the Passover, the Messiah being the Passover, it opened up the door for us to come unto the Father into the world of unleavened. Does that make sense to you? Because that's what he was really driving at. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, verse 31, and put away from you and with all malice, that word malice again. And he says, and be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as Elohim in Yeshua, Messiah, forgave you. Yes.
I was wanting to go back to that other scripture about unity and the one and the choice of every day, every minute, to choose to be in the unity or to be in the flesh. Okay? And that's a choice.
Yep.
That's our choice every day, every minute, to choose. Yep.
That's why in verse 31 it talks about the things that draws you away from. Not the world, draws you away from the other part that should be kind to one another, be tender hearted to one another, forgiving one another in the same manner that the creator of heaven and earth, your Father and my Father, has forgiven us through the death of his Son and then given us life through the life of his Son. I think it's a beautiful story.
I think we should pray every day that God would show us what we really are.
Yes. But also know where God has really placed us. If we only want to see how bad we are, God says, wait a minute, I put you in the days of, I put you unleavened. You are unleavened to me. My Son died for you. You are clear. You're truth. You have truth. You have clarity. We'll go find out as we get going. How do you obtain that? Why should we go and look at what we are once were Or even, I would say, focusing on what the way we are in the flesh and look and see what God wants us to be in spirit. That should be on a daily basis. If you want to ask God something, ask Him. Because Apostle John James says, if any of you lack understanding, if any of you lack wisdom, if any of you lack, don't know, ask. That's what I highly recommend, that if you want to have wisdom, compassion, understanding what God wants, go that way. The Apostle Paul talked about being babes. We'll talk about it a little later. You're being babes in maliceness. But don't be babes in understanding. Go to Proverbs, first chapter. You know, when we ask God, give me wisdom. Sometimes you probably have asked, God, give me wisdom in this thing of the world, that thing of the world, this thing over here, that thing over there. Why don't you ask for the wisdom in His world? That's what He's going to give you abundantly. Why? Because He's placed you in the world of unleavened. It's going to be clarity. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be truthful. My word is truth. Okay? Proverbs chapter 1. You know, the Messiah used parables and all that kind of stuff. And Proverbs is the same thing. It says one thing, but you should pay attention to what it really is saying to you. And not just the surface stuff, but the deeper stuff. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Verse 2. To know wisdom and instructions. The Proverbs are to know wisdom and to know instructions. The Proverbs are to perceive the words of understanding. And sometimes you look at a proverb and say, what does it say? It teaches you to understand. Understand what? How the world turns? How to eat a ketchup? You don't eat ketchup, right? You're supposed to just put on stuff and then eat with it. But maybe it will tell you how to eat. Does it teach you that kind of wisdom? That's not wisdom. Those are things of the world. And those proverbs, to receive the instructions of wisdom, the instructions of justice, the instruction of judgment, and the instruction of equality. Now, we go back. We're going to go back when time comes, and we're going to go through the book of Leviticus. There is tremendous amount of, quote, proverbs in the book of Leviticus. We don't look at proverbs. We don't look at that it's full of wisdom. We don't look at it's full of instruction. We don't look at it as though it's this, but it is full of hope and instructions and understanding. How it is that God says, you want wisdom? Read my word. It's there. What else does the proverb say? He said, now, this is very interesting. Now, the Proverbs gives prudence to the simple. Not many wise, not many noble, but simple people are the ones God deals with, right? The lesser ones is the one that God deals with. And so, you are receiving knowledge and learning how to perceive and make a judgment that can dumbfound somebody who's got a PhD on them. You really can. They won't understand how you come, you understand this. To them, it is foolishness, right? But to you, it is not foolishness. Why? Because you're in the world of unleavened bread. You see things clearer. And you see truth. And therefore, you've been given abundance. Abundance of truth. Abundance of clarity. That you can see God. And you can see God's words. You can see God's thinking. You can see God's action. You get to be, as the Apostle Paul said, be at one with the Father. And Yahshua even said that in his prayer, remember, 17th chapter? And about being at one with the people, the women, the apostles, be at one with God, the Father. Echad with God. Now, when that happens, this is the gift that happens. Verse 5. What happens there? A wise person will hear and increase in learning. And if you lack wisdom, go to Proverbs. Not the book of Proverbs, but go to the sayings that are hard to be understood, that are written throughout the entire Tanakh, that are puzzling, and ask God. You have to ask God, show me what it says. Don't depend upon somebody picking up a book, reading and explaining it to you, and you close the book and say, now I know what it means. Ask your Father. If you lack understanding, ask me. If you lack wisdom, ask me. If you lack don't know what judgment is, ask me. If you don't know what mercy is, ask me. Right? That's where you learn all that stuff. It's from Him. And His Spirit is going to feed you constantly those things that are very important. What does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and His righteousness. That's where you are in now. This world of unleavened bread, you're in the world seeking and understanding and want to be part of and be connected with the Creator of heaven and earth. And everything He ever said or says, that's the world where the death of the Messiah and the resurrection of the Messiah, the days of unleavened bread, the Apostle Paul says, the reason why you are unleavened because Yahshua is our Passover. Now you'd be all part of and connected with His Father, your Father. You see how wonderful days of unleavened bread are about? It's not about, oh, I got this wickedness, I got that wickedness, I got this wickedness. Concentrate upon you are unleavened. What on earth does that mean? I'm in the world where God has placed me. I couldn't get there unless something happened first. Not to me, but to His Son. Then I can be there. That's why He's preeminent, right? Name be preeminent. You will increase in understanding, and you'll increase in wisdom. You'll even go to someone who counsel, who's wisdom. How's a person who's counsel wisdom? Because that person studies the Word of God, and he'll show you how to look at it and ask God to understand those proverbs. But the last one there is the fear of the Yahuwah. Is the beginning of knowledge. Right? Most of you had come to a point where you were afraid what God's going to do to you. So you started paying attention to Him, listening to Him, finding what He has to say, because your life is on the line. Not His, yours. And so you start saying, I've got to find out what He wants me to do. And He says, I have already done it for you. Will you accept what I have done for you? And most of us in this room said yes. That's why I think David of Unleavened Bread, when I learned about him, all we talked about was sin here, sin there, sin here, sin there. I don't see that. I see something else. This is a great promise on where we're living. Yes.
No, I'm just agreeing.
Oh, okay. Let's go to Colossians. Yeah, you know, back in the New Testament. But this is the day when God said, come to my feast and rejoice. All right? All I'm doing is mouthing myself here. But He said to come and rejoice with one another and with Him and with His Son. Do you understand? This is what all the holy days are all about. It's about him and about his son and how we are to be connected with him and with his son. And so he says, when you come to my feast, rejoice. Get something to eat, because that's what I want you to do. I created the food for you to eat. I didn't create it in vain. I created it for you. Enjoy it. All right? And I'm just up here reading what it says, at least what I choose to read what it says, by the way. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Now, if when you were raised with the Messiah, you are to seek those things that are above. Does that mean the birds? Or the clouds? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness is above. His righteousness is not beneath. It's above. On his throne. He rules on his throne with his righteousness. The Apostle Paul talks about that in the book of Romans. I'll go there in detail today. But he says there is a righteousness of the Torah. There is a righteousness of the law. It is just. It is good. It is holy. But there is one righteousness that is above it. And that's the righteousness of the Father. He says, set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth. Which is really hard in our world. Because, you know, I'm partly unemployed. I'm saying, okay, I don't make that much money now. I got to refigure out my budget. We all get into things. And he says, don't worry about that point. I'll take care of that one. Remember, we read about that a couple days ago. I'll take care of that one. Just do what I want you to do. And hardships are meant there for us to always keep him in mind. That's what he said. Okay? For you died, your life is hidden. Well, you thought your life was the light, right? God, go out, preach the God, go out, preach the God, preach the God, preach the God, preach. Hell, no, no, it says your life is hidden. It's concealed, it's protected. It's in reserve, in a very safe place. Most of you, we use the word shalom. The basic verb base of the word shalom means a place of safety. Means to place you in a place of safety. So when the song we have, or the thing we read, put you in shalom, or give you shalom, or give you peace. He said, give you safety, a place to be safe at. Do you feel unsafe? You're not. You're in the world of unleavened. You're in the world of safe. You're safe here. You're protected here. In Elohim. In God himself. And verse, let's drop down to verse 8. I'm going to try to wrap this up here. But now you yourselves are to put off all things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, and out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man. Since you are putting off the old man, or since you have put off the old man. Did you notice that grammar? And sometimes we think we're still the old man. No, that old man is being put off. Apostle Paul says, I die daily. He's killing the old man. He doesn't want anything to do with it. He gets rid of it. He gets rid of it. How does he get rid of it? He goes to the Word of God and finds out, oh, that's what the old man thinks? I'm getting rid of the old man. It's elder abuse. And you're the elder. You're abusing yourself. That's a way funny way to look at it. I grant you. And in verse 10, and have put on the new, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. What does that mean? Now you are in the image of him who created him. Who is the him who created the him? Created who, the other him? What was the other him? Who was the other him? Yeah, great. Now, that's what it boils down to. And we see that now we are what? We're going to be created in the image of the Yeshua. But is not what he said? Is not what Yeshua said? Let Christ be in you. Apostle Paul, let Christ be in you. Let that, he says in Romans, let that spirit that was in the Messiah be in you. Taking in is the spirit of the Father leavened. Is the spirit of the Father leavened? Well, the answer is no. It's unleavened. And he has abundance of it. In fact, he's got more unleavened than all of us put together can possibly calculate. It's always there. It's always true. It's always sincere. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of Elohim, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, just like the other Corinthians said that, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even so, Messiah forgave you, so you do the same thing. I know none of you have that problem, right? Okay, I only want to go into another area here. Does that make what I'm saying today make sense? We are in the days of unleavened bread. We are unleavened, yes.
I like the part where it talks about falling on the rock. I do, because yeah. Truly, until you are really broken, and you receive and accept the brokenness, once you fall down, really fall down, God shows you who you are, you fall on the rock, but you have to accept it. You can't resist it. You can't, be in a pity party. You have to receive that brokenness and walk in it.
Yeah.
And that is really the only way that I see to be able to do these things. Anyway.
And that rock being the Messiah, that's who you go to. That's who you are. Quote, he's either going to hurt you or you're going to be hurt by him. Take your word for it. All right. And basically you fall down and get hurt on that rock. There's a reason behind it. All right. I want you to get rid of this. Purge and murder, execute, perish the old. And all that stuff is listed here. What it needs to be perished, what needs to be removed. And God opens up our eyes, not to everything under the sun that we do, but opens up our eyes as year after year after year after year, one more thing, maybe two more things, maybe even three things in a year. And he says, I think sometimes almost every holiday, every seven holidays, something comes up. And he gets, you look at yourself and he says, now, what do you do about it? Well, I. He says, stop it. And end it now. And you say, okay, it hurt too much. Well, that's good that it did hurt. But he did it because he's looking out for your life on this earth still. He's still looking out for your welfare on this earth still. He's still looking out for your welfare for the needs you have, clothing, housing, food. He says, I already have that there for you. I made that for you. That's already taken care of for you. Now, God's not saying we should starve ourselves to death or walk around naked. That's not the issue. The issue is, I've already did that. It's already there. And we learn as humans to figure out how to use the stuff that's there. Yes.
Like a 4-point restraint, so that he can do a little surgery. and take out?
Yeah. It's going to. And sometimes he doesn't use, I don't think he does. I have to be careful with my words because I don't know. I don't think he used any kind of painkiller so you don't feel it. I think you feel the pain. That's the object. Okay, I'm wrapping it up. I'm going to run into the end here. I'm going to go to Romans, the 3rd chapter, for a moment. This is how we're talking about justification, all right? How and God has justified your life, and how He has justified my life, and in the future, the life of all mankind, if they accept it. Because He said, I can do this. Verse 30, chapter, the 3rd chapter of Romans, verse 30. Seeing it is one Elohim which shall justify the circumcision by faith, or those who have trust in what is written in the oracles of Elohim when they were raised up and they went and lived that way. They know what is written there, and the life was that way. And the uncircumcised through faith or through trust in Yahshua, not knowing what was written in the oracles of God. People didn't have it. They didn't know it. But what do? They trust in the same exact manner as those who trust in Him and they know the oracles of God. We are learning more and more as we get into the oracles of God, what they say, what they mean. We've not been raised up under that particular point in time in history. I don't know what happens today. It's not important. But we go to God to find out what is justice. He teaches us. What is mercy? He teaches us. What is compassion? He teaches us. It's not human mercy, human compassion, human understanding, human judgment. It is His. It's His righteousness that we seek for and want to have. And He says now, then He asks this question, 31, do we then void the law, or put this another way, do we then therefore void the oracles of Elohim because some didn't do it right? And oracles are very important. It's what God said. Right? What God said. Do we make void what God said? No, we are to establish those words that the Creator of heaven and earth said in our lives, because we now are in unleavened. And as we keep asking God to increase the wisdom, increase in the knowledge, He has an abundant amount. That's what it says here in the book of James, right? Yes.
We humans do that all the time. If we see something that isn't true, it gives us a reason to not have to do that which is true. All the time. Whether it's our parents, our siblings, our government, everything, churches. If we see something, well, that person's doing that. And our parents says, so somebody jumps in front of the train, you have to too? And we say, probably. But we do that all the time. And it's not just even authority figures. It's our brethren or our siblings.
And I'm going to close here real quick. But you know, the Word of God, through the Apostle Paul and others, have said, well, Yahshua said to His disciples, you are clean. Before they received the Spirit of God, you were clean by the words I said. And they responded to it. They acted on it. They chose it. They wanted it. They desired it. And there's something in the Torah that tells me that. We'll go in there when we get back to Exodus, but not right today. Not Exodus, but Leviticus. Since you and I, since the Passover, the death of the Messiah, death of Yahshua, now freed us from the death that was written in the Torah, now makes us what? Innocent. You're not guilty. You're in unleavened now. You're not guilty. The Apostle Paul said, we're not guilty anymore. Romans 5. Chapter 5, verse 7. This is real quick here. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die for. And yet, what about the Messiah? What about him? Verse 8, but Elohim commends his love toward us, commends our love toward us, in that while we were yet, not still, were yet sinners, what did he do? Now, verse 9. Much more then, now being justified. Oh. Went to court. And someone died. And it satisfied the Torah. Now, there is justified. We have been justified. We're free. We're free from that days when we were yet sinners. Now what happens? We're now found blameless. Do you really think you are blameless? Probably in your mind and heart and spirit, probably say no. But if you're in the days, if you're in unleavened, that part has already been justified for you in the past. What are you supposed to do now? Walk in unleavenedness. Live in unleavenedness. Live in clarity. Live in truth. All right? And when you find yourself doing just the opposite, kill it. Just kill it. Well, he says, yeah, but if I kill that, it's not part of me anymore. That's the object. It shouldn't be part of you. All right? Because Yahshua was found guilty and was found to be in blame. Yet we know he never really did anything. But he did. He took it on for us. And by God tolling, he commanded his son to do this. And his son did it. A pretty powerful thing, don't you think? And now we are to live by the oracles of God. We are to establish the law, establish the oracles. We are within it now. We're not outside of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are now within the oracles of God. You're listening to the oracles of God. Not of men standing up here mouthing off. You're listening to the words of God because now you are clarity. It's clear for you. The word of God is very clear to you and the truth is very clear to you. You want it and you need it and you go after it. And you are seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is what the days of unleavened bread is centering on and all about. It's not about how bad we are, how bad we were. I'll never get there. That's not what it's about. It's about us now, being where God has placed us now, by and through the death of his son, who is our Passover.